You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Another edition of Swoop's World at a live event back here in First Friday's Bixby Knowles. And we're here with Michelle Mangione's crew, who we usually join up with. We're here at the Mirage, and it's April 5th, 2013. Get things started off here. We're going to have a chance to interview Xene. We're going to have a chance to interview Michelle. But sitting right next to me right now is the Bixby Knowles Ranger. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing very well. How you doing, Swoop?
I'm doing great, man. So tell us about what's happening with the Ranger these days, man.
Well, the Ranger, I'm out at First Fridays, as per my usual. I got a brand new shirt on. That's some exciting news in my world. So it's not too exciting. The streets have been pretty quiet and pretty safe so far, which is how we like it here in Bixby Knowles. I'm, of course, monitoring strict vigilance at all times in my subterranean underground Ranger lair, which we're getting the patent on that soon. But we're having a great time. It's First Fridays. We got a bunch of wonderful bands out. We got bluegrass bands. We got jazz bands. We've got Xene is here with Michelle Mangione at Mirage Cafe right now, and I just couldn't be happier.
Now, I know that you patrol the boulevard here, and the avenue.
I do indeed, yes.
What's been going on? And have things started to pick up?
You mean as far as First Fridays goes?
I mean as far as First Fridays goes tonight.
Tonight it's still fairly early. I started out, I walked my way down, and I had a lovely tarot card reading at Everyday Zen Relaxation Studio. I was told that I need to reconnect with my father a bit more, which is hard because he's Jotham Bixby, so I have to kind of dig through the archives. But no, we're having fun. It's still early yet. But I think it's going to be a real humdinger. I've been out ranging now for about 3 years, I think, maybe even a little more, and it's just increased. And now you were the mastermind behind the first Fridays. Not a lot of people know that, but it was Swoop and Krista
and Peter Doppelis.
And Michelle, you too. Okay, yeah. So it's just been crazy since then. That was what, 5 years ago?
Six. I'm so old, I lost count.
Well, I'm 139, my friend, so...
Now, humdinger is not a term you hear much these days.
It's an oldie but a goodie, yeah. It's a classic. I believe that it refers to the hum that you make when you're dinging a bell. You know, sometimes you ding a bell and... I'm just making this up. I'm not really sure where it comes from, but...
But roll with it.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
You're on a roll.
Yeah.
So go. So now,
it's at least 90% backpedaling is an old Ranger.
What specialty acts are going to be up and down? I know there's usually the guy on stilts, and I've been here. I've seen Elton John here once before, and
yes,
a couple other.
Elton John is with Her Majesty this evening, so he couldn't make it out tonight. Stiltsy McGee is out and about. We've also got some wonderful bands. We've got DJ Twan is out. He's dropping some fresh funky beats. We've got a nice...
The Knowles Ranger using fresh funky beats, man.
Fresh funky beats.
Humdinger and fresh funky beats on the same day. Times are good.
I'm nothing but eclectic. We've got Squarefish is a wonderful sort of folk indie... pop duo. They're not a duo. There's four of them, but and they're outside of Melinda McCoy's flower shop this evening. We just have bands right and left, and some wonderful acts on the street, and so. It's going to be a good one. I don't think the goats are out tonight. We did have a petting zoo the past couple First Fridays at It's a Grind. But we do have... It is, of course, Earth Day. We're celebrating Earth Day this month, Earth Day Arbor Day. I have a poem, actually. Would you like me to... do we have time or no?
Well, you have time if it's a short one.
It's pretty short. So this is our Earth Day poem that we're doing here. It's by a gentleman by the name of Rush, Mr. Rush.
So you got about six stanzas here, right?
This is six. This is four stanzas here.
Well, it's more. It's almost what you would call a duo.
Is this too much? Okay. It's the trees. There is unrest in the forest. There's trouble with the trees. For the maples want more sunlight, and the oaks ignore their pleas. The trouble with the maples, and they're quite convinced they're right, they say the oaks are just too lofty, and they grab up all the light. But the oaks can't help their feelings if they like the way they're made, and they wonder why the maples can't be happy in their shade. There's trouble in the forest, and the creatures all have fled, as the maples scream, oppression! And the oaks just shake their heads. So the maples formed a union and demanded equal rights. The oaks are just too greedy. We'll make them give us light. Now there's no more oak oppression, for they passed a noble law, and the trees are all kept equal by hatchet, axe, and saw.
Well, thank you, Mr. Knowles.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been
on
pleasure.
The show. And I'm very fascinated about Exene and this whole show this evening. So take it away.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Your own show. Excuse me. I'm being churlish now. Pardon me.
Well, Peter has arrived, and I need him rolling in eventually. Everybody said, "Where's Peter? Where's Peter?"
This wasn't my fault this time.
That's what you say, everyone.
No, this was a legitimate emergency. As I was literally about to drive on over here, some guy pulled up on his bike all broken down, and I was able to repair it for him so he could get the rest of the 5 miles home to his, 5 miles to his home. So I was literally getting in the car to be on time, and I helped. I was a good Samaritan, which doesn't happen very often. So.
Well, we are absolutely happy to have as our guest right now somebody who's been with us once before, Exene Cervenka. How you doing, Exene?
I'm really good, and that was entertaining. I like the Ranger a lot. That was really fun.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah, it's nice you have a Ranger here in town.
So what have you been up to? I know that I read that you recently collaborated with Michelle.
Yeah, you know, Michelle Mangione and I met, and we became friends, and I like her music a lot, and I wrote some words, and I sent them to her just because I was happy, I just wrote a great poem, I'm going to send it to my friend, and then they'll, because it feels so good when you first, I got to share this. And then, I don't know if it was a month later or something. It wasn't that long later. It was probably sooner. She said, well, I put music to it, and I changed it around a little just to fit things. So I was like, oh, great. So we went after we hung out for a while, and we went and sat in her car, and she put the disc in, and I could tell it was like that. Well, this is just a rough kind of mix. And also, I just played it really. But, if there's anything you wanted, because I really didn't mean. And I was just like, okay. Well, I'm so excited. And then, of course, about a third of the way through, I'm like crying. Because it's so great. And she's like, do you like it? If you like it, I could change it. If you don't, that's the way women write songs, I think, rather than, hey, I wrote this song. Awesome, dude. I wrote a better one. What's yours called? It's more like, So, but anyway, I'm exaggerating, of course, kind of. But It's a great song called Following Orders. It's up on iTunes, and we did it ourselves. She recorded most of it, you know, herself, and then we mixed it and put it out, and hopefully people will find it. It's all over the internet. You just have to know it's out to look for it, I guess, you know. So
Very cool.
Yeah, so that was our first real collaboration, but we've done shows together and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously you enjoy working with Michelle.
Sure, she's kick-ass.
Yeah. Now, last time when you were on the show, you were telling us about some young girls that you...
Oh, yes, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about
that. Yeah, yeah. Skating Polly, a band from Oklahoma City. I produced their record. They came to see me once on tour in February in Oklahoma. Nobody was there. They came, brightened up the whole evening. Everybody was so happy they were there. Such cute kids. They were, I think, 10 and 15 at the time, and now they're 12 and 17, and their record just came out called Lost Wonderfuls, and they are the best. They write the best songs. They're half-sisters, and Skating Polly from Oklahoma City, and they played South by Southwest with also a friend of mine's daughters who have a band, and they were played together, these two girl bands, you know, and one of them is the youngest band to ever play South by Southwest, and Skating Polly's probably the second, you know, like, young. But anyway, it was just really great to see these kids get off to a good start, and a record came out yesterday, so everybody look for that, because you will love it. It's so entertaining, so smart, so funny, so wise, so interesting.
What's the genre?
Well, I mean, I would have to say it's kind of like a really sparse version of maybe like a Breeders kind of sound, maybe, or a... it's hard to say because they're kids and they made up their own sound, but if I had to put it, it has a bit of an alternative thing to it. They love all music that's ever been recorded, so you name it and they know it, so they have the vocabulary, so just and they work their asses off, you know, constantly to write and play, and they play with a whole bunch of bands, you know, they're going to be famous, like, really soon.
So are there other people you've been working with lately?
I did a recording with Phil Alvin on a song called Lonesome War, and then I worked with some people, Sean from Sean and Xander from Throw Rag. We did a song that Nina Simone rules on, and no one will ever top her version of Sinner Man. But we did our version, and it was good. And, you know, it was just the one of the things I did since I saw you last was I volunteered at Girls Rock Camp.
Oh, really?
In LA, in downtown LA. And that's about 9 days out of your life, and it's just nothing else exists for those 9 days except 70 girls and 40 women who all cooperate without any problems and get, you know, it's just insane. It's all these kids come together and they learn how to play instruments, sing, write songs, make a band, and they kind of set people up together at different ages and stuff. And at the end of that week at the El Rey Theater, all like 14 of those girls, their bands all played.
Wow.
They all named their bands, they made t-shirts, they wrote songs, they had logos, you know, they learned how to wind up a chord and not just leave it, you know. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, wait, you're not done.
I'm going to send my son to that class.
Yes, you should. No, it's like that. And,
just,
you know,
for the chord wrapping alone.
And it was a really, really amazing... Girls Rock Camp is all over the world. It started in Portland about 15, 16 years ago. A young woman did a thesis or something in college, like, well, this would be a great thing, wouldn't it? And it was like, yeah, that is a great thing. So she decided to start it.
Yeah.
You know, like, wouldn't it be great if...
So for the girls to do this, what sort of requirements do they have to have?
They don't have to have any requirements at all except wanting to have a week of summer camp. There's scholarships for the girls, you know. The one in L.A. was held at a Catholic school, and in return, then the five kids or six kids or something get to go for free. And, you know, it's just a bunch of people doing amazing stuff. I mean, there's a lot of crying going on by the adults because you're so, like, moved and stuff, you know. And it's all over. So there's going to be one in Orange County now, starting up with some of the women. And I made a lot of friends, and I'll always have friends there with
that
group.
Great.
And, you know, I mean, that and roller derby, you know, those are great women's girls events that I'm, it seems like a women's day today. So I did that. That was really meaningful to me. That was one of my favorite things I've ever done in my life. And X is playing shows around. We're going on tour with Blondie in September and October.
Really?
Uh-huh. Excuse me. And
where are those going to be?
Well, it's the States, and I don't know yet, because they're right now, like, we were trying to do a tour, they were trying to do a tour, so everybody teamed up on the booking end. So that means, you know, bigger places and different places and other places that we wouldn't have played. And so we'll just see what happens. You know, if there's demand, then who knows?
Great.
You know,
be a great show.
Oh, it'll be a great show. It'll be a great show. And especially if we can do some stuff together, you know, like sing together or play together, you know, some way. So that's really exciting. You know, really exciting.
Now, I know you're also writing for, you have a column in the OC Weekly.
Yes, I'm a journalist.
And I know you do your artwork and you write poetry. How do you have time to do all the things that you've been doing?
Well, I don't have time. And no one does to have all the. These days, you're so busy throwing money over your shoulder at ghouls that are chasing you. You know, it's like, go away, here's some money, go away, here's some money. Till you run out, you know, and running people off your property practically these days, you know. You know, I mean, life has gotten harder, and it's going to get much harder as time goes on for everyone. And that's one thing that's good about that is, though, that people are getting more united and more teaming up together to kind of fight what they think is unjust or unfair or, you know, wrong, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of cooperative households, you know, where four or five people living together because what else are you going to do? It's interesting, though. Those kind of hard times, they'll make for a much more creative environment always. You know, like you've got a repressive government, you have better art, whatever. No one's ever going to see it in our country, though, because the mainstream media won't allow that. But yeah, so my column is called Exene Says. It used to be Ask Exene when I had an advice column, and I will still do advice if someone needs it, but it's more just they gave me this deal, like, well, just write whatever you want to write about, like 500 words, 600 words. And I started off at very small pay, working really hard to make these columns. You know, like, people ask you for advice, you have to think about it.
Right.
Really seriously, because not only that person who might never read the answer, but all those other people who are like, well, I have a problem like that. What does she say? And I'm old, so I can give advice. I'm qualified. But, you know, it's funny because I got a raise, finally. I had to ask for it. But the OC Weekly gave me a raise, and now, like, my favorite reporter of all time, Lois Lane, I am up to 1954 pay scale per week. I feel like I'm, like, wearing a little suit and going around. My I always wanted to be a reporter and a detective, and now I am. But it really is difficult because you know how it is. You prepare. People think, well, you're on the air for an hour or two, and that's fun. But what about all the time and money and energy and research you put in to the songs and the getting the people to talk, you know, meeting the people to talk to. You know, it's all work, you know, behind the scenes, and then you just have this little column, but they don't know it took 10 hours.
Right, exactly.
Especially because my editor is a young guy, Nate Jackson, and he's really go-getter, kind of humdinger kind of guy. Anyway, and he's great, but sometimes he'll make suggestions. He's always, you know, pretty right about things, and so you have to rewrite a little bit or take stuff out. You know, it's fun, though. I like it.
Excellent. Now, when you were talking about the rock camp, it kind of made me wonder, when you were first getting started, first writing poems and music and stuff like that, did you have somebody that kind of helped guide you?
Yes.
Who would that have been?
Well, my sister.
Yeah.
My whole life. And then when I moved to California, I moved to Venice, and I went to this place, Beyond Baroque, which is a famous literary arts center. It had the largest small press library in the world, and my job was to work in there and to do typeset and layout for their poetry papers, because Jerry Brown was governor back in 76, and they had these programs for unemployed, uneducated, high school dropout women like me. So I got trained to be paste up and layout, which, of course, is obsolete now. Anyway, and I was, and then I lived upstairs from where I worked in the library, and I would borrow my little clock radio and listen to Wolfman Jack and write on a piece of paper. I had no furniture. There was a television in my apartment that came with it. It was a black and white TV. It was ginormous for the day. And it was only one VHS or whatever, UHV, whatever that was called, UHF, I don't know. And it was Dr. Eugene Scott, who you probably remember as the crazy Christian guy.
I remember Dr.
And he was 24 hours a day then, and that was the only entertainment I had in my apartment, was it came with Dr. Eugene Scott. I had a kitchen table and two chairs, and I remember when I met John at Beyond Baroque, we went next door and had a glass of wine. That was all the money we had. We came upstairs and smoked his stinky French cigarettes and sat at the table with nothing. We had nothing, you know? And we were talking about music and stuff. But that place is what taught me how to write, because they would... they would just say the simplest things that I still carry around today. It's like the personal is more universal. If you say, a car went down the street, nobody sees it. But if you say, a red Oldsmobile went speeding down the road, you know, you make it more specific, more personal, whatever, and it appeals to more people that way, even though they didn't see the same car. They saw a blue Volkswagen, but they can relate to the facts and the you know, just simple things that I learned. You know, when you're 20, you soak up everything because you want to do well and you want to get the hints you need. You don't know anything, and it's like everybody's so smart and you're so dumb. And really, what's a bagel? What is that exactly? I'm from Illinois. I'm from Florida. What is a bagel? Well, it's this thing you put cream cheese on it. Ew. All right, I'll try it. You know, and you find Thai food and Mexican food and all that. You know, I mean, it was just. That was what influenced me, I think, was just L.A. and Venice and the great scene that was there and crazy people.
When you go, when you tour now, how what are the similarities to when you first started?
It's more similar than none.
Is it really?
Well, you know, we tour in a van because we have an equipment truck, and we have like four or five people. We have a passenger van wheel. What are we going to go on a bus and spend $50,000 a month when we're only making 20, if we're lucky? You know what I mean? It's really bad to spend money on that stuff, I think. So we do it really simple. It's nice. And, you know, we stay in, like, regular hotels, you know, nothing fancy. And the audience is the same kind of mix of young and old as it's always been. You know, kids and older people. You know, it's just everybody comes out. People that have never seen us, people that have seen us 50 times. And the audience is always the show for me. You know, they're seeing four people. I'm seeing 800 people, yeah. You know, all expressing themselves, you know. I think we still have a really smart audience, and it's mostly individuals. You know, there's not a lot of fights at our shows or crap to deal with. You know, it's just good people, really.
Very nice.
Yeah. I'm lucky. I'm so lucky. We're so grateful, I must say, that people have kept seeing us and kept liking us, that we're the original surviving punk band and the planet is insane. And then people always ask this, don't ask this, did you think 35 years ago you'd still be doing? Yeah, I did. I really did. I thought X would be the only living punk band and then we'd all still four be together. Of course, John and I would have gotten divorced by now. I saw that coming. But you know what I mean, it's like you can't predict anything at all.
Well, I did have a question along those lines. Okay. Are you still enjoying it
I think we all really, really like it more. We really appreciate it more. We have nothing to lose, nothing to prove, nothing to really gain either, except to just keep working. There's no animosity. There's no competition. Nobody's saying you got to sell records. Nobody's saying you should do this, you should do that. It's like, hey, you want to go on tour with Blondie? Yeah. Okay, well, I'll see you in September. Okay, bye. You know, it's like that. I mean, we hang out. Me and John and, you know, Billy lives near me, and we're all good with each other, but... it's easy. We don't rehearse. We just go and we play and everybody loves it and it's fun. And then I pay my rent and it's amazing what happens after, you know. But, you know, the best thing about being in a band, though, are the miracle situations. When you're in court and your opponent is trying to say bad stuff about you and your lawyer says, you know, my client who's in the music, I'm well aware of who your client is. I'm very familiar with her music. You're like, oh, yeah, kick ass. Kick ass. You know, stuff like that, you know. Or the police guy goes, hey, aren't you XE from... Oh, yes. Because you're not going to get paid, really. But if you can just get those get-out-of-jail-card frees once in a while, you know.
Yeah, those are always nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we all get them, though. We all get them.
When last time I talked to you, they were going on a tour with who?
Us guys?
Yeah.
Reverend Horton Heat we went out with, but I don't remember. Before that, it was somebody else, right?
Yeah, it was somebody else.
I don't know. We usually team up with people when we can, you know, it makes it easy.
And have you toured with Blondie before?
No. I met Debbie Harry through my sister in, like, 1979 or something. And, of course, a bathroom, which, of course, we were putting on makeup, of course. And, she's so beautiful, oh my God, and so neat, so tough, just like Jean Harlow tough. And then I've met her over the years again and again, you know, through other friends and hung out and went to see her play a few times and, you know, when she does her solo. And, you know, she's just amazing, I think, and that's a great band, so it should be great.
Now, have you toured recently with anybody that you guys have previously toured with?
Oh, you know what? I tell you, we went on tour with Reverend Horton Heat, and that was great. And the band that opened is from Austin, Texas, called Not in the Face, like Don't Punch Me in the Face kind of thing, Not in the Face. And they're like, they're just like so great. It's a trio, two guitars and drums. And they're just typical Austin crazy, crazy guys, you know, mutton chops, skinny, tattooed, jeans, no shirt, crazy out of their minds, you know. amazing songs, great band live, so exciting, so funny. Like the Butthole Surfers, if it was a trio. Mm-hmm. But just the catchiest, greatest, funnest songs. And actually, the singer gave me this ring, and he told me this most bizarre story about this ring, and he had to give it to me as a present, like it happened, that this thing happened, that this, you know. And it was this most beautiful story. And I just think they're the neatest guys. They're young, you know, and they're just awesome. So that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, let's listen to one of your songs. We got one of your songs queued up here.
Awesome.
And now I got to find it.
And we got to get you that Following Orders that Michelle and I wrote so you can play that on the...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
Xene.
There it is.
The Virus.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Suits World on the Talk Story Radio Network. We're here with Xene Cervenka. And coming up, it will be Michelle Mangione. We're here at First Fridays Live in Long Beach in Bixby Knolls. This is called The Virus. Back after this.
To the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, there's a sharp hole in the wall, and you're listening to Suits World.
And welcome back to Suits World on the Talk Story Radio Network, and we're here with Michelle Mangione. How's it going, Michelle?
Not much.
No, ask me that.
I know, it's hard. How are you doing?
Good. And thanks for having us back. It's always nice to hang with you guys.
It's not the same now when you guys are here.
Oh, uh-huh, well, thank you.
Really.
thanks, Trev. let's see. Now, we were just talking about Xene, and apparently you guys have been doing some things together. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
You've worked with some really cool people over the years, haven't you?
You know what's really cool about it, and I noticed this... the other day I was thinking, when I was a kid, you know, of all the women that had a voice, I'm working with two of the main women for me that they spoke their mind. you know, and they really, really had a voice. And it's like, it's so cool now that I get to, you know, I feel like privileged to be able to get to work with these women because I was inspired by them just because they spoke. There wasn't a lot of women in rock and roll or, you know, really any kind of music that was were telling the truth, you know, like guys were most of the time, you know. So there weren't a lot of options, but.
What's it like when, and she, you know, she relayed a story similar to what Grace said. Sent you some words. Send you some words and let you run with it.
I know. It was such a trip because I was like, I got this poem. It was an email. And I was like, holy shit, this is really heavy. This is very cool. And I was like, oh man, do I you know, try and write some music for this? And I had it right away when I saw it, when I read it, I had a gut feeling as to what it should sound like, what it should be, basically. And I tried a couple other things, and I just went back to that gut thing, and it was like what it was supposed to be, and you know. But I was thrilled because it's it was pretty awesome.
So that whole bit about in the store, in the car, and all that. What's your side of the fence there?
What's that?
When you're actually finally playing it for her, as she relayed,
my God,
that
so
that would have been a little bit
where
daunting.
We're in front of my buddy Steve. Steve Soos, who's sitting over there being very, very quiet. We were in front of Steve. I think you were in front of your house, right? And I was all nervous, like I usually am. I mean, she's right. It's like the way that women are.
Like, pretty accurate description, huh?
It's like, you don't want to, right. It's like, you know, a horrible salesperson. You don't want to buy a computer ribbon. But we were sitting in the car, and of course I'm all, you know, giving my disclaimers and, you know, it's like I always do. It was really cool. And then when she started crying, I was like, okay, either she really hates it or she was moved by it. So I was hoping it was the latter.
You're trying to get a look, trying to get a feel for it.
Like, okay.
What kind of tears are those?
It's like, exchange it. But, you know, it's great because it was such a gut thing from the, and I love writing like that. You know, a lot of times, whether I write or somebody else writes the lyrics, there's colors involved. You know, you like see colors, and when you see colors, it's like, okay, I know what, it's weird, but you know, I know what color the song is supposed to be, and the music just kind of happens.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it happened with the song.
Have you, besides working with Xscene, have you been doing a lot of gigs lately?
I have not been doing a whole lot. The summer gets really busy.
Yeah.
You know?
Because so, during the summer, you were doing Stardust and then, you know, Super Lark was playing. You're playing a lot of different.
Yeah, and we do. There's a little concert series up in Arrowhead that we do. Yeah. And so we're doing a lot more.
Yeah.
But, I've been kind of enjoying. I found that I had time to, like, clean my garage the other day. Shit. Man. I have a lot of shit. Like, it's like stupid stuff.
You're like, yeah.
Old things of oil that you're like, this car, I don't even have this car.
I don't even use that kind of oil anymore, right?
You wonder, like.
Well, last time you cleaned something up, you brought out a bomb, right?
That's right.
Oh my God! When I bought when I brought the bomb to the Long Beach
live
fire department of the live bomb, yeah, that was from a yard sale.
That's right.
From a yard sale.
Oh, that's right. No, I was gonna say that's the sort of thing. It's like when you go and find that stuff in your garage, you look at it and you go. So I walked all the way out to the garage. Why didn't I just walk the extra couple steps and just pop into the trash the first time? You know, that's how I. You got all this stuff,
right.
Just stuff you just never. But you keep it.
You thought you were going to use it at some point.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming so, because I just went through the same process. Right. That's kept going through my mind, is I have to walk all the way, the whole length of my house to get to my garage. If I just walk a little bit further, I could just have thrown it in the trash, save myself the trouble of
cleaning this up. But you never know when you're going to need that. And this minute you throw it away, you're going to need it.
That's why you're
is that like is that what Murphy's Law? Yeah,
that's how it all starts.
That's right.
Now here's a big question: when did What Is a Saint come out?
No idea.
The follow up question to whatever you're going to say is, when's the next CD come out?
Oh, I mean, it's been like, I know, and you know, and I just keep doing what I've been doing lately is writing songs. In fact, I'm going to play another one tonight that I've been recording, and I kind of just writing them, and then I'll record them at home and just bring them to the next show, or do like, you know, put a few on a CD, and I did that tonight. I put a few on a CD and you know, just brought it to the show instead of doing a whole CD, because that's like wrapping my head around that right now is I love sitting and recording, but it's weird, and this is my wife can attest to this. Being in what she calls music mode, which means that when I open a drawer, it doesn't get closed. I walk into the other room. It's like I'm... But I have to keep my head in that mode to do a CD. If I set out to do a CD, it's almost better. Like, I wish that I could travel somewhere, do the CD, you know, away from home, do the CD, and then go home and, you know, and finish with life, but there's just so many distractions in life, and you know, bills and all sorts of things. So I'm doing it. I'm doing a little piece at a time.
Well, those of us who've been clamoring for it, you can give us. We're talking 8 months, 12 months.
We
like to put people on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep threatening, and then with Andrew and Steve, I tell him to come over. I got this new song, and then. Can you like put a keyboard part in it? And Angie's like, yeah, okay. And she comes over. She said, okay, so let's hear the song. So I play her. It never has any vocals, so she has no idea how it's supposed to go or where she's supposed to play. And I basically almost have them play it from back, like backwards, from back to front. And they never really hear this full song until like we actually release it, right? I'm sorry. I apologize again to you guys, because they're like so cool and so good and so patient, and I'm like lucky to, you know, have.
Well, you guys have worked together for a long time.
Yeah,
now, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's
they obviously
like,
don't mind, because otherwise they'd have.
No, and the three of us are Capricorn, which is try to make a fucking decision. It's like, you know, what do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat?
Like, oh, God. I've traveled with the likes of you.
Yeah, right? Right? But it's cool because I keep getting, you know, I just, it's weird because as I get older, my world gets smaller, and I'm only kind of, the people that are in my life are people I really want to have in my life, or people that I want to live like, or, you know, try and emulate in some way, have qualities that I want, you know?
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I was listening to another podcast today, actually, Jillian Michaels, and she was kind of saying a similar thing. She
really?
Says that, she says as she gets older, it's harder to make new friends. But that being said, She'd gone through a phase where she'd gotten rid of a lot of people in her life that really were a hindrance. And now she has just that core group of people that she really enjoys being with. And I think that's true as you get older. I think that's true. I think, you know, when you're young, you want to be popular and have all these acquaintances that you call friends. And then as life goes on, you realize that, you know, you can dispense with a lot of that and just hang with the people that you really care about.
I think getting to what's important, I mean, understanding more of what's important, you know, and really appreciating, like I don't think I appreciated my friends when I was younger. I didn't appreciate the people in my life like I do now.
Isn't that true with anybody? I mean, isn't that just part of being young?
I think, right? We don't really appreciate it.
No.
Much of
anything. So parents don't know anything. You know, just,
Hey, man. You know me.
Oh, you have kids. Oh, you guys both have kids.
Yeah, he's got younger ones than I have. Mine are pretty much walking human being, adult type human beings.
Left the nest.
So you really learn what's important quickly when you have a kid, huh?
Like, I mean, you have to narrow things down even more so, and especially on your end, because they have so much going on their end that you have to kind of always like, be.
Kids will make you grow up in a hurry, though. Because one of the stupid things that you really are used to doing, you go, I really shouldn't be doing that in front of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you start pitching it, when I was telling my niece, teaching her how to drive, and it was all about, you know, doing the right things and wearing the seatbelts, I'm like, I got to start doing that. I can't, you know. One day we were driving in on the freeway on the 405 in traffic, and I swear to God, I had no idea I was doing this. Poor little Jennifer, she was like 16, but she's in the back. She's like, Michelle, no one's driving the car. I looked out, I was driving with my niece. I had my playing with my hair on one hand, and I had a phone in the other. And I felt so bad. I was like, I'm endangering this child's life and trying to teach her. It was a.
Yeah, been there, done.
As soon as I say,
you pay attention to the backseat. Well, what's next on the horizon for you? Are you going to continue to collaborate with brilliant artists? Or,
I hope if I'm lucky enough, yeah. I will. I really appreciate. I'm kind of taking what's coming down the pike, you know. It's like, I don't even, what does that even mean?
Here's a man who has to, he's the answer man.
Pike, yeah, I mean, that's the thoroughfare, the pike.
So what's coming down the
pike? Whatever comes down the pike, I think, actually was a river before it was a road.
Oh.
He's flying by the sea of his pants.
So whatever came down is, like, you just took what happened.
I never knew that. Okay, there's a couple. You know, I have to ask you a couple more things. No, I'm just like taking it as it comes. I'm just like, I'm tripping on life now because I'm, you know, I don't know. I appreciate things so much. I could get up in the morning and go, man, this is so cool. I have a great life. You know, I love my dogs, I love my girl, I love the people that I get to hang out with and play music with, and, you know, and the fact that I still get to do that, you know, a lot of people can't. In fact, when Ixine was talking about the kids that can't, you know, and I know that's something that she would normally be doing. You would be doing that now, right?
The camp? Rock camp?
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing as much as I can this year with both Orange County and I got to go back to Arizona, so, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's something that, you know, it's like that kind of stuff, that giving back and that kind of stuff. I like it, you know, hanging out with people that do that kind of stuff, because it's cool.
Yeah. Well, I know Di's going to run in here any second, but I also have to ask you. I know that you are, you know, ever since I've known you, you've always supported some type of cause or something good going on, and a lot of times you've when you've done things here at First Fridays, you've kind of brought light to different things. Are anything that's moving in right now these days?
I think general general truth. Oh my God, there's just so much shit going on right now that I think, you know, I think just really aware, being mindful.
If you want to stay aware, just follow Xena on Twitter, because
she keeps you
aware of what's going on.
She's like the research queen.
Yes, she is. Yes, right. She is.
You have no idea how much time you ask me about anything, I will tell you all the problems and who's at fault.
I know, and that's, you know, that's Grace is the same thing, and, you know, she has a lot of opinions, but she can back it up, and I love that. I love having a good debate, but yeah. I want to know what the hell I'm talking about.
Well, that's what's interesting, is, you know, with Grace and Xene, is it that, and, well, you know, maybe I just don't know, because I don't follow a lot of the younger artists, but I think that era, you know, you talk about the 60s and 70s and a little bit of the 80s, people that were involved then seemed to kind of keep track of what was going on in the world and talk about it and have an opinion on it as opposed to just mentioning it. Do you think that's still going on, or have we lost that era?
I do think it's still. I think that there are pockets of young people that really, really care and that really want to ask questions and want to, you know, and have original thoughts, you know. But we're so bombarded in this country with having to be, you know. I mean, again, when we talk about the American dream, what is it? It's like, it's, you know, success, money, property, prestige, fame, you know, it's all of those things. It's like, what about, you know, treating the person sitting next to you nice? What about, like, the basic, most important things in the world? Like, if you ask a kid, what's your dream? You know, you watch shows like American Idol, like all these music shows they have now, and it's like, it's my time. It's like, I think your time for what? Like, it's, you know.
Give you the time. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Exactly. So how, yeah, I mean, it's everybody's time. We all need, I don't know, I could go on forever about that.
You know, I like how I do it here. Well, you brought up something that I want to ask Maxine about. What do you think about these shows like American Idol and The Voice and X Factor and things like that?
I haven't watched television in 4 years. And when I do glance at it, like, I never turn it on in the motel or anything, but if I'm at someone's house and they've got it on, I will watch it just to observe, like, how it's changed. And you don't know day to day how much it changes. And if you haven't watched it for years, then it's like, holy God. There's a show that's just talking vaginas now. I swear to God, no. But it's just like, everything is just, like, reduced to the most, like, promiscuous, pedophile moment possible as quickly as they can get it into your mind and then onto the next thing. There's so many subliminals and terrible programs and terrible messages being sent to young girls, especially, and young boys, that sex is all that they're good for, and fame and wealth and all that. Violence, that people are losing their ability to feel and actually becoming more and more environmentally bred to be sociopathic, you know. So when people say, like, in jest, like, I have a friend in New Mexico, he's always coming out here, he's like, Maxine, I've got tickets for Stevie Nicks. And then some other, like, person, like, younger, I don't know who, some other, I don't know who these people are. I don't even know their names. I'm not going, so don't bring me. You know, but I bought you a ticket. Well, bring a friend. Okay. All right, well, I've got tickets for, I'm like, I'm not going to see them people. You know, like, Beyonce or any of these people, I call them whores of Babylon. Because what they're doing is they're teaching young girls that, you know, like, well, it's worse than Madonna. Madonna was the role model for young girls, and you used to see Madonna wannabes on TV and stuff, and they'd be all dressed up like her, and I'd be like, you know what? You are not going to become the rich businesswoman, Madonna, famous artist that everybody in the media is so in love with. You're going to become pregnant in the backseat of a car in that outfit. Yeah. And it's her fault. It's her fault. It's her fault. It's her fault. You know, and I do think role models, that you should be a role model. You know, people say, well, I'm just an athlete. I'm not a role model. I'm like, the hell you ain't.
Yeah.
Then who else is? Step into the gap, because no one else is going to save these kids. Their parents aren't. The government's not. The schools aren't. Somebody's got to care for people. So I hate television. I think it's really dangerous. And I think if everyone turned it off at the same time, within 48 hours, we'd have a whole new country.
Nice.
That would be an
interesting. Also, by the way, studies on television. The hertz, the frequencies.
Uh-huh.
The first time a person watches television, it takes them about 45 minutes to get into this kind of somnambulistic kind of hypnotized state. The second time they watch television, it takes 5 minutes. And like the third time they watch television, it takes like 10 seconds. Like, kids just slip right into this hypnotized state.
It's like, you know,
we've all seen it.
Yeah.
Well, it is, because it's like hypnotism, and it is designed to be that. I think it's very dangerous. I get all my news from YouTube and blogs and Drudge Report and all kinds of crazy people that are writing amazing stuff and discovering great stuff. So.
Very cool. Well, I know you two have to get things going on
because
it's
a
10 minutes till showtime. But I want to thank you both for joining us here at Swoop's World, and once again, Michelle, for inviting us to come along and hang out with you on our first Fridays.
Thank you for coming. I'm really glad you guys are here.
Thank you. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks. It's nice to see you guys again.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure, for sure.
Thanks for what you do.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to listen to one of Michelle's songs here. I'm going to get down and see which one. I got to get away from playing the same ones all the time. let's see. How about Fly featuring Sam Morrison? You listen to Swoops Road on the Talk Story Radio Network, and back after this.
Monday morning, too much thinking could take your soul away. And happiness becomes a broken armchair where you would like to stay. Would you try just enough to get by and tell me how far, just how far would you fly?
said bacon, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're letting you get more.
I don't know where you're going to put them. It's pretty packed, and I guess that can be arranged.
And welcome back to Zeus Roto Talks Radio Network, right here live from the Mirage Mediterranean Grill in Bixby Knolls for First Fridays. And if you're in the area, you have time to come on down and enjoy what's going on up and down the avenue. What's going on, Peter? What do you think so far?
It's going good. It's super crowded out there. As I was pulling up, it was busy. It looks like it's going to be a very well-attended evening.
Yeah.
From what they were telling us, it's going to be very well attended. So it looks like it'll be a busy show, busy event.
Excellent. Cool. We're gonna wrap things up because Maxine's gonna hit the stage here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And we want to get there and check that out. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Those of you who tuned in on our Swiss Road app or all the different ways you listen to us, we really appreciate it. We'll be back Wednesday night for Swiss Road Late Night. That's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 11 p.m. on the East Coast there. But we want to thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful, great, safe weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Good night all.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.